A very good morning, your daily mob. Welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev Murray from the Curry, live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns. You know it, BBM, Bummer Brit Media, 98.7 FM. We go across the nation thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service. You can have your Sabre calls on that daily number, 1-800-422-416. All right, we're going to catch up with the beautiful sister now, Muriel Spearum, releasing her new single, Sardine Baby, and coming from her debut album, From My Heart. We've got the sister online. Muriel, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. I'm good. Thank you. Thanks for having me on your radio.
Too deadly, my sister. Thank you very much for coming to the program. First of all, let the mob know who you mob, where you're from.
Yep, I'm a proud Gamilaroi Kuruma Murawari woman from northwest New South Wales and just over the border of Queensland.
All right, too deadly. Now, any connection there to Brother Bo Spearum with BIMA, Brisbane Indigenous Media Association?
You know it. Yeah,
little big brother.
That's right, my little big brother.
Yeah, big boy. Yeah. One love there, Bo. Too deadly. Now, it's all about you, Muriel. So tell us about your journey, about your new single, Sardine Baby, which we're going to play here very soon, and also your debut album, From My Heart. What inspired Sardine Baby?
Yeah, so not long after I had my first little baby, Wayne
Lauer, yes.
I met Auntie Sharon Egan, who this song is about and inspired by, at her exhibition in Bendigo on her Sardine Babies. And I was so moved by her story, her life, and also her resilience and her capacity for love, to be so open to people and, you know, to have such a big heart, which I think, you know, our mob has,
Exactly.
Despite all the hardships, you know, we're still so full of love and compassion and laughter and joy, you know?
Exactly.
So, yeah, and we, I was just really moved by her, and I asked her if I could write a song about her and her Sardine Babies, and this is where the song Sardine Babies has come from. Auntie Sharon.
Exactly. To me, that shows one, it shows respect. Two, a vehicle to tell a story in music and song. And three, the connection, the bridge builder, and educating people of the world about our mob, our country, our people.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, that, you know, our elders and, you know, family, community have been through a lot, but despite that, there is still so much love and understanding for the world. And I think, you know, that can be by the, we can be, you know, pictured by the white man in a different light, but that's not who we are, you know?
Exactly.
Our mob.
Exactly.
We're intelligent, we're strong, independent, and we're educated, and, you know, we have drive, we have all of those things. And
yes.
Yeah, I think it's important to pay homage to our elders and people that have come before us and paved the way and also done the hard yards, like, you know, our older people, they faced a lot more discrimination and racism in their lifetime. And so, you know, we're picking up the baton and we're here sharing that load, which is, I think, is important to do.
Very important.
You know, as the next generation coming through.
Exactly, Mel. Exactly.
Share the load and also to communicate and educate.
True. Two strong words, my sister, very much so. Now, the track was written in honour of, as you mentioned, Auntie Sharon Egan. First Nation artist, Stolen Generation, and Stolen Generation member. So powerful. And here we are playing the song just before National Sorry Day, ahead of National Sorry Day, in remembrance of our people, you know, Stolen Generation, sister.
That's right. And that, you know, they're still here and, you know, our journey of healing is one of the of a full lifetime. It takes a lifetime to heal.
Exactly.
But that's a journey that we're all going on together and supporting one another in.
Exactly. So how long have you been singing, my sister, and writing songs?
I've been singing since I was little, you know. I used to...
In the shower there?
in the backyard. You know, I've got, biggest mob family, five brothers.
Yeah.
So they'd stand over the TV and have the footy on. And so I would sing out the window real loud, torment them, you know.
Start fast like that.
then I'd run around the other side of the house and they'd start yelling at me, you know. I've been singing since I was little, you know.
So you write your own songs, Muriel?
That's a gift from my grandmother.
Yes.
Yeah, my grandmother's passed down.
Beautiful.
I'm very grateful to have. And what was that?
Sorry, you write your own songs, do you?
Yep, write my own.
Sing cover songs as well, or?
Write my own songs. I haven't sung many covers, no.
Okay.
I do a lot of my original work.
Keep it real, sister.
Yeah.
Yeah, beautiful.
But,
and like I said, you're really writing songs to tell messages, eh? Tell the stories.
Yes.
Very important.
Yeah.
Very important. So we're from here, debut album. Now you're up here, like you said, with Auntie Henrietta Marie Bugle.
Mm-hmm.
You were part of that. Tell us about your stage work as well, sis.
Yeah, so I've worked in the creative industry for over 10 years now, probably a little bit longer, doing film and TV and theatre. I've worked all over Australia and different TV shows and short films. And, I was very, very lucky to be a part of Book Isle and, share and tell Auntie story,
yes.
Auntie Henrietta.
Yes.
Which she's a phenomenal woman, you know.
Exactly.
Again, paved the way and done a lot, not only for our mob, but all First Nations people of the world, you know, with the laws that she put in place.
Exactly. Strong woman.
To protect our land and our waterways and our culture. So I was very honoured to play. To be one of the actors in the cast of Book Isle to represent her story and her songline.
Fantastic. Yeah. Now, beautiful. So you're enjoying that journey, my sister, and creative industry as such. But like I said, it's a powerful vehicle, like I said, to educate the people of the world about our beautiful culture, tell our stories. And it's fantastic that you've written a song here, Sardine Baby, in honour of Auntie Sharon Egan, Stolen Generation member. And look, we're going to take a listen now. But look, good yarning with you, my sister. Keep doing what you're doing. Stay deadly, stay black, stay strong. And we'll yarn soon, Muriel.
Yeah, deadly.
Take care, sister. One
Thanks
love.
Thank you so much. Big love.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Adelie Young there, Muriel Spearham. And look, and take a listen to her deadly track, new single, Sardine Baby, and come on from her debut album, From My Heart. To Deadly Mob, stay tuned on National Talk Black, 1-800-422-416.
G'day, you mob. This is Tanya Kernaghan with Trendy Trev, and you're tuned in to National Talk Black.
Call us now, 1-800-422-416.
Troy Cassidale here. You're with Trevor on National Talk Black. Don't move that dial.
Come on, drive it. Drive it like you stole it, son. Drive it.
Yeah, to Delhi Mob, very good morning. Welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. There's I, Trevor, Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry, live from Melbourne. Here I am at the Sofitel Hotel for the CASNAM Conference National Series. Back to the fire, the theme. And we're going to catch up, have a yarn with Dr. Lenore Geyer on her paper, A Unified Call to Action from Australian Nurse and Midwifery Leaders, Ensuring Black Lives Matter. A very good morning, my sister, Dr. Lenore. How are you?
Good morning, Trevor. I'm very well, thank you.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much for coming to the program. First of all, sister, let the mob know who your mob, where you're from.
My mob is Boogerman Mob from Palm Island, and I've got connections to Kalkadin Mob, my mother, and Cora Reg Torres Strait to my father.
Beautiful. Deadly footprint there. Look, this is becoming a habit, you and I catching up yarning, you know, but it's good to see you once again, my sister. Let's talk about your paper there, A Unified Call to Action from Australian Nursing Midwifery Leaders, Ensuring Black Lives Matter.
Thank you. Well, this paper I led with 115 other nursing and midwifery leaders in Australia. It came out of, you know, the response from Mr. Floyd, George Floyd's death, which happened yesterday, was the anniversary of, of his death, the first anniversary. And
I'll just say that the anniversary yesterday, and here we are today, a National Sorry Day in this country, is that cynic?
It's incredible how these things kind of connect and link, you know, across the nations, like black people all over the nation.
All over,
share common experiences.
We do, yeah.
Yeah, and how that his anniversary yesterday sparks off, still is, not sparks off, but links into, you know, our sorry business and talking about that and healing from that from today, you know, today's date. So so this paper, when Mr. Floyd was murdered, and it was an international, people could see what was happening.
Became an international movement.
Yeah, it really resonated within me about the history of Australia, and, you know, the black deaths in custody. And at the time, really felt that we needed to talk about this because it was disturbing to see that nursing practice that were connected to black deaths in custody was there in front of our faces.
Yes.
We weren't talking about it. So the paper came out of that, and I talked to other colleagues, Dr. Deb Jackson, Dr. Tamara Powers, and Dr. Rhonda Wilson. We sort of had a conversation, and then the paper started. But like I said this morning, these kind of traumas are very deep, and I sat on the paper for a few months before I could write anything, really, until the right time comes, you know. And so when that came, we had a whole lot of support from 115 other nurses and midwives who wanted to put their support behind the paper and to start talking about these issues for nursing and midwifery in Australia, because we've got a history of being part of the trauma for Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people in Australia. You know, there are actions and decisions that nurses and midwives made in earlier times, you know, like under the government policies. They were part of the agency of government policies upon Aboriginal people, and they were part of making sure those practices of government policies were enacted. So, and it's not about apportioning blame or
no.
It's not about them saying, well, that was another time, we didn't do that now. But, you know, a way, when you want to heal or when you want to reform things, you have to go back and look at the place where trauma happened and talk about that. And it's almost like setting ourselves free from that trauma so that we can start building together. You need to go back. In any relationship,
exactly,
you need to go back to that place of hurt and you know, reconcile that and then move forward. So that's very much like nursing and midwifery in Australia.
Well, we're stepping out racism. That's the word.
Well, yes. Those government policy and practices that were controlled Aboriginal people and Torres Strait Islander people were racist policies. There were, white supremacy policies, and the lie that they believed that the black people were dying out and needed to, you know, they would let them die out. No, we're still here and we're still having babies. We're still growing. The population is expanding.
Exactly.
And communities are young.
We're not going anywhere. No. We're not going anywhere.
No, we've got to be firmly stuck in our ground.
Strong roots. So to our Delhi mob, they just tuned in. Trendy Trev here, Murray from the Curry, National Talk Black, coming live here from the Sofitel Melbourne Hotel for the conference, CAS and AM, the National Conference Series. And yeah, I'm in here with Sister Dr. Lenor Gaia, talking about her unified call to action from Australian nursery and midwifery leaders and cheering Black Lives Matter. The word racism comes up, of course, it comes up across the board, no matter what, so on the football field or whatever, and we need to stamp it out. The other thing I want to talk to you about, Doctor, is a professional practice framework on Indigenous context. Elaborate on that, please, my sister.
Well, professional frameworks for practice are really important across the board, you know, in what we do in nursing and midwifery and how we educate, but you know, all over other sectors where you're engaging with, you know, Indigenous people. And one in particular that comes to that I'm working on is practice frameworks for corrections or men and women in prison, Indigenous men and women in prison. Prisons are always, prisons have their own rules and how they work with people. But in my thinking, you know, yes, they're a place where people are sent for the punishment of crime, but they're also supposed to be a rehabilitation space.
Yes.
You know, and there's a lot of dialogue happening around the prison space at the moment in Australia, you know, abolishing abolition. But whilst within prisons now, there needs to be a development of frameworks to introduce frameworks of how to engage with, you know, Aboriginal men, Aboriginal women in prisons, that kind of opens up that rehabilitative pathway for them, because
well, culture is not
there. And you know, I think back to your presentation in Cairns of Nauru, and in a spirit, in a cultural sense of identity, and reaching people that way. That's the way black fellows are, really. You know, we look at who we are, our culture, our identity, and that informs then, you know, how we're thinking about things too. I guess it's a little opposite to starting with thinking and minding and changing our thinking. It's believing who we are as well. That's really important.
Well, exactly. You mentioned prison. I mean, like, it's a place for punishment for what an individual does. But as you mentioned, rehabilitation. And if you're looking at a time, that time there can be productive regarding rehabilitation.
You know what I mean? But we need something in place, is what you're saying that's missing.
It depends on the system, you know, like, yes, it has to be a rehabilitative space, because we don't want our people going in and out of prison, you know.
There must be
something there for our people when they are there in prison, and something positive, something that opens the door for, you know, a better way to come out to
build a new future.
Yes. That's right.
You're not a bad person. You just did a bad thing. So now we grow from here and move out and move on. So when we come out of here, to be a better person and a new pathway for yourself, anybody at any moment can start a new future.
Yes. And I think practice within places like prisons and nursing, it's not just about, you know, the black collars in there. It's also about the non-Indigenous mob, about them reflecting and thinking about their practice and their engagement with our mob, you know?
Yes. Well, I look at that. You mentioned, non-Indigenous, let's talk about staff in prison. A correctional guard, a officer, is just in a JOB. They want to get paid to pay their bills and feed their family, but they don't want a ruckus when they go to work. So if you've got a relationship, you're building and helping someone better themselves, that could be a good space for all.
Yes, that's right. Yeah. If you are sort of engaging at that kind of rehabilitation level, it makes their jobs easier, the prison staff. And it's also a building space for prisoners, you know, like our mob in there. And you want to, and that practice frameworks have the potential to decrease the hostility within prisons between our mob and prison staff. But it's also an opportunity to connect with you know, the community being involved as well around those practice frameworks. I mean, these are kind of like people would say, oh, look, that's all idealistic. But I think that there's opportunity to be able to just talk about it more and see where it can fit.
And when you say talk about it, the practice framework on Indigenous context, when you're talking about prison, for example, you've got some people at the table with you now talking about this this movement. And who are those people you've got at the table with you, Dr. Lemon?
I'm working with two, you know, very knowledgeable and two very good men, Armin Tamatea, who is a Māori brother from New Zealand at Waikato University. He works in this area. And Andrew Day, who works at Melbourne University. They work in the both criminology area and prison work. And both men, you know, very, very strong, and they have a head and a heart for this work, which is really important.
Exactly.
And, it's just...
And talk about the Māori brothers. Well, there's a bit of culture at the table as well.
Yeah. And, you know, New Zealand have similar experiences to Australia, and practice frameworks around looking at how culture informs or can inform the way that we can do better, you know, within spaces like that. And the same for nursing, how in bringing in our cultural knowledge and how can that make a space for a better outcome.
Well, exactly. And look, having good people at the table, and that's what you're talking about. And it is a team effort. Like I said, you've got some right people at the table, but culture at the table as well is what you're talking about. And we've got a practice framework.
And we all have culture, you know, whether it's traditional and Indigenous cultures. Every person has a culture in their life. And it's how that, how we can bring that culture in to inform and to strengthen us and to make space for better outcomes. I think that's really important.
So if you look at it, my sister, Dr. Leno, our work is never done, and we are on a Mount Everest climb, but as I say, by a mile, by a yard, it's too hard, but inch by inch is a cinch, and we just got to keep paddling, don't we, darling?
Yeah, keep climbing, and just stop and have a breather.
Yes.
Look out at the vista and say, yeah, we've come this far. come on, we just go up here a bit more.
A bit more. That's right. That's how we do it. Yeah. Well, it's always great to catch up with you. Thank you for being you. All the best to you and your family.
Thank you.
And you stay safe and stay black and stay deadly, stay strong, my sister.
Always.
Beautiful yarn there. That's Dr. Little Guy. Fantastic. Beautiful yarn there. Coming live here from Melbourne at the Sofitel Hotel here in Melbourne for the CASNAM Conference. CASNAM, Congress of Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander Nurses and Midwives, National Conference Series. Back to the Fire is the theme. Trendy Trev here. Also want to give a big shout out to beautiful lady Samantha over in WA, who's a loyal listener for National Talkback. Hope you're well, and your beautiful son as well, John. This is Trendy Trev. Stay tuned. BBM 98.7 FM, National Talk Black. Too deadly.
That's all we ask, just a little time for the feeling, for one more time. That's all we need, just a little time for the healing to begin.
Guy Sebastian here, hanging up on National Talk Black, your big yarning show, BBM 98.7. I remember the day.
It's me, Bush Tucker Bungie, and you're listening to the National Talk Black program. Makaran.
National Talk Black, 1-800-422-416.
Yes, very good morning, Daily Mob. Welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry, coming live from Melbourne at the Sofitel Hotel here in Melbourne on Collins Street, here for the CASNAM conference, the National Conference Series. It kicked off in Cairns back in April, and they're on their sixth one. They've got about four more to go. Sydney next week, but I'm here helping out here in Melbourne. And the theme is Back to the Fire. It's a very powerful movement. CASNAM is the Congress of Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander Nurses and Midwives. And Professor Roy Ann West is leading the show, the CEO of the organisation. And Cousin Roy, I will put that in there. She is my cousin. Her beautiful sister, Leona, is with her as well. And it seems like nepotism, but No, we're doing a deadly job for our mob. Look, I'm going to catch up a yarn there with a new EO, Executive Officer for CASNAM. That's Brendan Dunn. A very good morning, Brendan. How are you, brother?
Good, thanks, Trevor.
Good, fantastic. I say, brother for another mother, white on the outside, black on the inside. That's how I describe you, my brother. Look, you're the new Executive Officer for CASNAM. Only 2 days in the job.
Yes, 2 days in. Wasn't meant to start till today. Then Royanne rang me late last week and asked if I could down on Monday, fly down to Melbourne, and couldn't say no.
Couldn't say no. Well, the boss has spoken.
That's right.
And the boss has jumped. You say how high, and we don't come down until she tells us to.
Exactly.
Exactly. Brother, where do you stem from?
I was born in Sydney, out in Western Sydney, out at Westmead. And then I actually moved out to Boorowa. It was a very small place, out in sort of just on the edge of, well, heading towards central west New South Wales, about an hour and 4 hours outside of Canberra. And I grew up there from, young fella up until I turned 18 and moved to the big smoke of Canberra.
Big smoke of Canberra. So there you sit. Coming from a professional background, non-Indigenous man, working with a beautiful organisation like CASNAM, and Congress of Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander Nurses and Midwives. One, you're not a nurse. One, you're not a midwife. One, you're not black, but you're passionate about our movement as black people.
Absolutely. So my previous role just before this, I actually came from the Coalition of Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander Peak Organisations, who just recently, last year, signed the new national agreement on closing the gap.
Yes.
But it's working with all those community-controlled organisations is where I was before coming across here, and now moved across to one of our members.
Yeah, there you go, one of your members. So did they headhunt you? What happened there? Or did you apply for a job? Or?
Saw the opportunity come up and jumped at it with two hands and threw my hat in the ring and had a chat with Roy and the rest is history.
Fantastic. So how long were you working with the coalition for?
I was there starting sort of July 2019, so just after the partnership agreement. The first agreement signed between Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander organisations and people and all Australian governments between COAG, which was a historical agreement in itself.
Yes.
And I started just off the back of that in July 2019.
Fantastic. So not only the JOB job, which a lot of people know means just off broke job, but in a job, but also entrepreneur. You've got businesses on the side. Tell us about some of the stuff you got outside the JOB.
Yeah, so my first venture into business, my brother and I, we opened a gym in the back of a house. And so we were there for a few months, and then a few months after that, we decided to open a commercial residence. We had the two for a little while. So we had one in the back of the house still. That was like our little local. and then
for the boys.
That's right. And then we had our commercial facility as well, and that we eventually moved the one out of the back of the house, and now we just have the commercial facility. So we run a community-based gym. People come in and do classes. You know everyone's name. You don't have your headphones on. You're having a yarn instead.
Yeah, good, beautiful. So that business is still running while you're working at JOB. So your brother running the business?
No, not quite. He sort of helps with some of the financial stuff. We've got some good staff. We've got a guy sort of manages the business for us, and I work in conjunction with him. I still like to take classes because I like to
keep fit
and stay in touch with everyone as well. Cool. I'll still coach a few classes a week.
So coach a few classes a week, but also stay fit because you play local rugby league in Canberra.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, so playing the Canberra Raiders Cup competition, which is the local competition down there, and I proudly play for the Gungahlin Bulls.
Gungahlin Bulls?
Yeah.
What colours are they?
They are red, black and yellow.
Red, black and yellow.
Yeah.
Good. Meant to be, brother, getting a job with CASNAM after Coalition.
That's right.
So, like I said, white on the outside, black on the inside, brother. Of course, let's talk NRL. Who's your team?
I am a Canberra Raiders man.
You two boys need to go back to the drawing board.
Yeah, we do need to go back to the drawing board, but hopefully the drawing board comes up with some answers.
Yeah.
Growing up in that area.
Fantastic. Too deadly. Look, a beautiful yarn. Thank you, brother. Congratulations on your new appointment as Executive Officer for CASNAM. So you'll be working closely with Professor Royanne.
Yep.
This is your welcome to the organisation. Looking at the last 2 days with this conference, how do you feel about this vehicle that you're about to drive into?
Yeah, I was having a conversation with a colleague the other day, and just noted the strength of the concept of Back the Fire, but the emphasis on culture being at the heart of everything that Captain N is doing. And I couldn't be more proud to be part of the organisation.
Good, fantastic. And that's come from a white perspective, but also with a person who's now employed as Captain M. And look, it's a powerful movement. I just love the space that cousin Professor Royan's working in. She's passionate about it. She just happens to get paid for the passion that she does. And when you do something you love and you get paid to do it, you won't work a day in your life. And I like to think that's where you're heading about, my brother.
That's right.
All right, brother. Nice talking to you. And look, when you get to the top, don't forget me, brother. I'll wash your car, mow your lawn, do anything. Good man. All right, thanks, Brendan.
Thank you.
All right, to Daily Mob, that's Brendan Dunn. His name is Executive Officer for CASNAM, appointed new position. So, to Daily. I'd like to make mention National Sorry Day is today, and thinking of all our loved ones, our beautiful ancestors who've gone before us. The fight continues in regarding First Nation people in this country. And also make mention of National Reconciliation Week. It's happening tomorrow. And that goes for a whole week, and it's about it's more than a word, and actions starts today. There it is. Happy Reconciliation Week, you mob. Too deadly. Stay black. Stay deadly. Stay strong. Trendy Trev here. Signing off. National Talk back from Melbourne. And look, keep doing what you're doing, you mob. Too deadly.